Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Our Father who art in heaven, holy, holy, holy is your name. Our Father in heaven, holy, 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 holy is your name. Thy kingdom come. Father in heaven, holy, 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 holy is your name. Our Father in heaven, holy, holy, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those that are indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Father in heaven, holy, 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 holy is your name. Just tell him how holy he is for a little bit. Don't ask him for nothing. Clear your mind. Just say, Father in heaven, holy is your name. Holy is your name, Jesus. Holy are you, Lamb of God. Holy are you. Just tell him, guys, how holy he is. Tell him how holy he is. Jesus, Jesus. Father in heaven, holy is your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your presence, Lord. Reconciliation. Our hearts grown in mercy, in compassion. In your presence, Lord, aught deteriorates. Hunger and passion increases. In your presence, Lord, our eye is, as we look for your eyes, so single, Father, so good. Seeking first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, Lord. I thank you so much. That the Lamb of God offered himself up as a sacrificial lamb on the altar of sacrifice. They didn't take his life. He gave it as a free will offering. Grace, mercy. Grace and mercy personified. The scriptures that say, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. And his lips that they speak no guile, let him depart from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. Those scriptures are getting so easy to fulfill. It's called transformation. There's a place where there's no labor to keep the Bible, to keep the sayings of Jesus. You sit in his presence and transformation takes its course. And those scriptures that I love, they get easier and easier to fulfill without endeavor, just by transformation. See, the Word of God, it renovates our mind and we think like ways we've never thought before. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you for your Word. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Father, for the gospel of the kingdom of God. Father, I worship you and we praise you and I thank you that your anointing will be on this time of fellowship, this time of breaking of bread, Father, as we share the Word of God with each other. We thank you, Father, and again we tell you, Father in heaven, you are so holy. You are so holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Kingdom of God, come. Kingdom of God is at hand. Pentecost has come. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. What are we going to do with it? Or with him? What are we going to do? I thank you, Father, for the kingdom. Thank you and worship you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. I don't really feel really much led to break right now and to give hugs. Though there's nothing wrong with it, but we just right now, I just don't feel led in that direction. I do feel you'll love the message today. Pastor called me yesterday, and I just don't believe, you know, Pastor will say that he gave me short notice. But there, when you stay in the Word of God, when you stay in prayer, there's no such thing as short notice. When your life, Colossians 3 says, let the Word of God abide in you richly. Let it govern you. Put it in you to let the Word of Christ abide in you richly. And he said something so remarkable. He said, teaching and admonishing one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. How many of you know the gospel is the gospel of grace? So let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. If the gospel is the gospel of grace, the true grace of God, and it doesn't rule your being, how are you going to sing with grace in your heart to the Lord void of the gospel? How? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, he said, richly. Teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart with grace to the Lord. If you don't let the Word of God dwell in you richly and the gospel is the gospel of grace, how can you sing with grace in your heart to the Lord when you're void of the understanding of grace? Colossians says the word of the truth, the gospel, it is the grace of God and truth. He called the grace of God and truth the word of the truth of the gospel. That's what we have. The word of the truth of the gospel is the grace of God and truth. I'm here today to preach a message. The most powerful message you'll ever hear in your life. We preach it here. And it's the gospel of the kingdom of God. Parentheses, full gospel. I understand the word, the message. I understand that. Now people say this, we're on the message or we're on the walk. I understand that. I concur with that. But the walk in the Spirit is derived from Galatians chapter 5. If you live in the Spirit, that is what? That's also walk in the Spirit. So, and pastor says it all the time, and I'm not as anointed as Pastor Bronk. I don't know the word like my pastor. I know what he means when he says that, but really and truly, all that we preach, all that Pastor Dave brought to the forefront was all in the New Testament. So the message, yes, I understand what you're saying. I understand. And I won't debunk that. I understand what you say. I understand this walk has changed my life. Well, I understand that too. I know what you mean. But really and truly, the gospel of the kingdom has changed our life. The gospel of the kingdom of God has changed our life. Granted, Pastor Dave brought it to the forefront like nobody ever has. Though his labor was amazing. But everything he taught was derived from the Word of God. Everything. We have the most powerful message on the face of this world. What's the message? The gospel of the kingdom of God. Amen? So what really has changed your life is the gospel of the kingdom. The message, yes, that's not wrong. This walk has changed my life, people say. That's not wrong. But it's all derived from this. All of it, Ralph. It's all derived from this. I told my wife this morning, my typical morning is, I wake up early sometimes. I get up to worship before I hear any noise, and I'll stay up for a while. I'm not even worried about times or duration or what time. That's not important. You don't need to. That's me and him. That's me shutting my door, praying to him that's in secret. That's what that is. I pray to him that's in secret. When I shut my door, that's me and him. You don't need to know how long or what time or what the duration. I know I got a secret place with him. I got a secret place. I told my wife this morning, I got up a little early. Before anybody got up, I would just worship God. No music, no nothing. Just worship God. My wife walked in. She said, "You're up?" I said, "Yeah, I'm up already, sweetheart." She said, "Okay, let me check your vitals." She checks my vitals, checks my sugar. And I'll say it. I have to take insulin, but I've cut it way down. I have to take blood pressure pills right now. I have to take them. That's just where I'm at right now. Is that God's perfect will? No, but it is his will. Without him, I won't do good. So I told my wife, this morning, coming out of worship, she walks into my room. And I said, "You know what? When I open up, you know, do you know what I miss the most about not seeing?" She didn't know what I was going to say. I said, "I miss seeing your crazy laugh. When you laugh, you close your eyes like this, you make the weirdest face in the world. I miss seeing your laugh, sweetheart." So, sweetheart, I want to see so bad. I want to see my beautiful granddaughters. I want to see my new daughter-in-law. I want to see people. I even want to see Miss Candy. Just so I can... But I said to her, I want to see so bad, baby. But man, I'm so content. But one thing, sweet, I want to see so bad. I want to see your crazy smile. But you know what, baby? If for some reason I leave this earth premature, well, I don't plan on it. I want people to say that Homer walked in love. I don't care if they say I was a good preacher or Homer knew the word. I want everybody to know, or that my wife can stand up and say, my husband loved people. That's what I strive for. Oh, yes. Do I strive for being healed? Do I confess God's word? Yes. But my prayer is just, God, purge my heart. Burn it away like dross, Lord. I judge myself in your midst, Father God, to walk in your love at all times, to love like Jesus loved. Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and sacrifice unto God. Listen. Be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and sacrifice unto God for a sweet smelling savor. To love like Jesus loved. To love like Jesus loved is to fulfill John 13. When he washed the feet of the disciples, he was saying this, you got to be least in the kingdom of God. Least. If you're least in the kingdom of God and you do these things, happy are ye if you do them. If you're least and you do these things, you will be the greatest. I said, sweetheart, I'm striving for love like I never have. There's a place in me. I can say, look, I will get on one knee before you. I will get on one knee. I think my eye has never been as single as it is now. I think my eye has never been as good as it is now. It's single. And if my eye is single and my eye is good, then the light in me is good. And it's bright and it's light. I can say that. When your wife compliments you, you know something good's happening. If I compliment myself, that's not good. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. We, in the body of Christ, we don't know. As I said, body, and I'm not talking about our church. I think people that come into this church consistently are just different. The people that come to this church consistently, they see more than a self-centered life. Because you're going to get slashed on Sundays, on Wednesdays, in a good way. You won't even know you got slashed. You know what's preached here. I heard Marty say this. I called him this week. I don't remember what day. And I heard a guy that I really like, a preacher. I really like him a lot. Somebody sends me some of his teachings. I haven't heard one in a couple of weeks, and he's real good. I talked to Gary Carpenter about him. I talked to Pastor Bronk about him. And if he came to town, I'd go see him. I would go see him. Who is he? I'm not going to tell you. It's up to you. He says some real good stuff. Real good stuff. Some stuff I've never heard before. Real good stuff. He has some powerful testimonies. Powerful. Powerful. But I know where my place is. I know what I believe. I know what got me from a pervert to preaching the gospel. And that's the Holy Ghost. I believe what we're taught here with all of my heart. I heard Marty say this, and then I heard this guy sort of say it. I didn't go back and hear it again to keep it in complete context, but a little uncomfortable with it. And me and Marty were talking, and Marty said that people say that I don't know if he said that we talk about miracles too much or that we can't make it about miracles. Marty, what did you say? That somebody said we make it about miracles? Is that what you said? Okay, Marty said that somebody said that we make it about miracles too much. Now, I heard this guy that's an excellent preacher, walks in a lot of love, man. He reminds me of Pastor Dave. Well, close to Pastor Dave. The number one Pastor Dave. But this guy's awesome. Holy Ghost praying man. Fasting machine. And he said this, and I should have gone back and heard it some more, but I didn't. He said, we have made it too much about miracles. And Marty said, somebody said that about us. Well, hear me out on this. There's truth behind it, and then there's no truth behind it. Some people do only concentrate on miracles. That's true. Is that here? I doubt it. That could be a true statement. That could be a true statement that some people do make it all about miracles. That's true. I don't think that's the case here. And when this guy said it, that we've made it too much about miracles, that could be true. I don't know the complete context that he said it in, but I didn't like what I heard. If it's not about miracles, then it is not a full gospel. The gospel of the kingdom of God is about souls being won. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I think the kingdom of God is not just word, but power and the Holy Ghost. So to say that we made it all about miracles is almost close to being heresy, because you're watering down the gospel, man. You are watering down the gospel. You read Matthew 8 or 9, miracles were done to bring people to repentance. Miracles are a calling card to repentance. You get someone dying on their deathbed and you tell them, well, if it be God's will, he'll heal you. You won't get much of a response. But you go to that man or woman and say, in Jesus' name, be healed. That is the gospel of the kingdom of God. The big dog calls it revival. Amen. We believe the same exact thing. I call it the kingdom of God. Neither one of us is right. I mean, neither one of us is wrong. Semantics. The gospel of the kingdom of God. I'm going to prove some things to you tonight through observation. I hope that I can get them done. I'm sure I can. I'm going to prove to you, which, and I hope you're able, if somebody asks you, you guys have this vision in your church of revival of God's kingdom coming, of a full gospel. Prove it to me. Can you prove it out of the New Testament? Can you take them to Scripture? Can you take them to Scripture where being born again and the power of God? Can you show them in black and white that what we preach is true? Can you for real? Well, if you can't, I'm going to help you tonight to validate that there is a full gospel out there that is not being. Now, I tell you, we do preach a full gospel. Do we see the manifestation of it? No, but it's starting. It's starting. It has an origin, my friends. We got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, let's see what we do with him. Now, let's see what we do with this. Now, let's see what we do with our walk with Christ. The guy said, we've made it too much about miracles. Now the guy walks in power too now. A good preacher. I like him. I might go back to study the tape some more to keep in complete context. There seems to be a common cry now. I hear that from people. Marty, by the way, Marty wasn't saying it. He was saying what somebody told him. Don't let me give you a bad taste in your mouth about Marty and go punch him after church. He was repeating what somebody said. Of course, me and Marty both know that that's not true, that miracles are part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what we say is different in comparison to other believers, but what we say is not new. It's different, but it's not new. It is the kingdom of God. Steve Schultz called it an end gathering. Pastor Bronk calls it a revival. I call it the kingdom of God is at hand. Pastor Bronk says revivalist. I say the word servant. Same principles, just different semantics. Same exact thing. Same exact thing. No contention at all. Same exact thing. I want you to hear these observations real quick. I probably won't be able to go to where I'm completely where I want to go, but I am the light of the world. Let me exhort this real quick out of John 8, and then we're going to go into John 9. I'm not going to teach it. I'm just going to exhort. Just draw out some observations. We know a woman was caught in adultery. And this isn't about adultery. This is about the light of the world. A woman was caught in adultery. Hypocrites found her in the very act. Isn't that something? Men found her in the very act. If they called her an adultery, then she was doing something she wasn't supposed to do. But hypocrites, people that probably knew her, if you know what I mean, threw her in the midst at Jesus' feet and said, "This woman, according to the law of Moses, deserves to be stoned. What sayest thou, Jesus?" He stooped down on the floor, began writing on the floor with his finger as though he heard them not. He says to them, "He that is without sin," listen carefully, "let him cast a stone at her. He that is without sin, let him cast a stone at her." So when you're a Christian and you got to know what somebody's doing, be careful. You gave yourself away. They said, "Jesus, what say you about her?" He looks at the woman, paraphrasing, he says, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no one condemned thee?" She said, "No, Lord." Can you imagine when she said, "No, Lord," how it sounded? "No, Lord." He says to her, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Listen, he said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, we're proving through observation tonight that miracles and being born again and overcoming sin are one thought. That's what we're after tonight. That's what I'm going to show you. He said, "I am the light of this world." Jesus said, "He that walks in darkness shall not, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So the light of this world said, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have" what? A brand new nature, correct? In context, a brand new nature. I am the light of the world. What I'm going to prove to you today, which you already know, is how to defend the full gospel message. That it is a full gospel. Well, Homer, the Bible doesn't say full gospel. Let me tell you something. They didn't know anything but the true gospel. Jesus taught a full gospel, miracles, power, people getting demons. So did the apostles. All they knew, they didn't call it a full gospel, but it was a full gospel. It was. With people getting born again, overcoming sin, and the power of God for signs and wonders. That is the gospel of the kingdom. He said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life," saying, "I'm the light of the world." Jesus said that of himself. Homer, when you give your life to me, Homer, I want to come live inside of you. And you won't walk in darkness or habitual sin anymore. That's what he was saying. John 8. Let's keep over to John 9 now. A man, remember, the light of the world said in John 8, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So walking in the light is to obey, the unction is to obey the word of God. Yes, that's a predominant message in the word of God, but it's in the bodies of Christ, but it stops there. It stops there. But I'm here to prove to you through black and white that the gospel is not just word, but it's power and in the Holy Ghost. John 9, a man was born blind. His disciples asked him, Lord, who did sin, him or his parents? Jesus said, no one has sinned. I must work the works of God while I am here. Notice what he said. He said in 8, I am the light of the world. When you follow me, you won't walk in habitual sin. You will be born again. He said, I am the light of the world. John 9, you can title this message, the light of the world, parentheses, full gospel. In 9, a man was born blind. They said, who did sin? Him or his parents? No one has sinned. I must work the works of God while it is day. Listen to what he said. I am the light of the world. Oh, he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So what did in chapter 8, the light of the world said, if you follow me, you won't sin. We know that. John 9 says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. What did the light of the world do in John 9? He opened the eyes of a blind man. Validation, word, obedience, power when the blind man was healed. That is the gospel of the kingdom. That is the message. That is the gospel of the kingdom. You get born again, you walk free from sin. If you have an ailment, there should be enough power in the body of Christ to get rid of it. I am the light of this world. You'll be born again. You won't sin. Chapter 9, I am the light of this world. I open the eyes of the blind in his humanity. If he did it in humanity, guess who else can do it in humanity? So, the preacher said we've made it too much about miracles. That's a dangerous, dangerous statement. Dangerous. That is not the gospel of the kingdom, man. And then if that's not enough, in John 8, he said, I am the light of the world. Who said he was the light of the world? Who said it? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In John 9, he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Who said that he was the light of the world? Jesus. So Jesus in John 8, Jesus in John 9 said he was the light of the world. And so that's so remarkable, he said in Matthew 5. Remarkable. The light of the world, the Son of God, that preached salvation, the light of the world that healed the sick. All of a sudden, he calls me and you the light of the world. A city set on a hill? He said, it cannot be hid. Nor does anyone light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand, and they give light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The light that preached salvation, the light that healed the sick in humanity, called us the light. You with me? He said, you are the light. Now there he's referencing works and obedience to the kingdom. But those works and obedience to the kingdom lead much more. It leads us to John 9 on a personal level. They wanted to establish that. And we're going to establish something else. Matthew 4. The Bible says the people that sat in darkness. What? Saw great light. And from that moment, he said, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4. Towards the end of Matthew 4, he said, and he went about all, I'm paraphrasing, went about all Galilee teaching, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and disease in his humanity. People that sat in darkness saw. They didn't say heard. They saw great light. They saw great light. To say the miracles are not part of the gospel is real close to blasphemy, in my opinion. That's dangerous, man. Maybe blasphemy is a strong word. Maybe it is. It might be. But it will throw people in bondage. People that sat in darkness saw great light. And he went about all Galilee teaching and preaching the kingdom of God and healing all manner of sickness and disease. That's chapter 4. Then he detours to Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Do you know that a lot of what we preach is in Matthew 5, 6, and 7? I've been annihilating it lately. I've been annihilating the New Testament lately. Worship is in there. Fasting is in there. Giving up alms is in there. And prayer is in there. Where's worship at? Our Father who art in heaven. Holy, 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 holy is your name. Fasting's in there. Charitable deeds are in there. The King James says alms. Prayer's in there. I get up in the morning. My wife fixes me up, makes me my 4 egg whites. I'm a Mexican. I got to have hot sauce with my food, man. Makes my B12. Eat my food. After my time of worship, eat my food. I said, honey, you got my, yes, I got your B12. I made it last night. So, okay, just making sure, woman. She leaves, kisses me. By the way, I don't have bad breath. I brush my teeth early in the morning. I eat my eggs. Sit on my recliner. I don't use my phone much unless I run into a question. Then I got to call Pastor Bronk. I hate doing it, but I need to grow impatient. When I have a question about the Bible, I get so impatient. Drink my B12 and shut my door. I shut my door. And I visualize myself on the mountain as he teaches. Now, I don't only go to Matthew 5, 6, 7. I've been in Colossians. I've been in Ephesians. I've been everywhere lately. But I close my door and I go up into the mountain. He's walking in power in Matthew 4. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It seems like the Holy Ghost takes a detour from power to sayings. Then chapter 8, back in what? Power. Leprosy healed. Leprosy, he taught about his power that people saw in Matthew 4. He went about all Galilee teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and disease. I'm paraphrasing. Then 5, 6, and 7, he comes with this marvelous teaching on the mount. My wife leaves. I kiss her. I tell her I love her. And I close the door to my room, man. And it's on. Renovation time. Transformation time. He detours to 5, 6, and 7 and starts teaching us kingdom sayings. Then Colossians 3 say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So I let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Then after he teaches on 5, 6, 7, bam, once again, chapter 8, power. Chapter 4, Matthew, power. Teaching, 5, 6, and 7. Chapter 8, power. Leprosy. A man healed. The next miracle, the centurion's servant. Just speak the word. Bam. Healed. Simon Peter's mother-in-law had a fever, and I think it was much more than 101 degree fever. Bam. Healed. Then he goes to the gatherings and casts the devil into a bunch of piggies. Power, doctrine, power. He said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. They followed him when Matthew 4 was written. They followed him to the mountain. They followed him in Matthew chapter 8. Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. What I'm proving to you, which you know already, the gospel of the kingdom is not just word, but it's power and the Holy Ghost. Are we fully in this manifestation? No, but we're seeing glimpse, man. Somebody told me this weekend, they said, Pastor Bronk is in a wonderful place, isn't he? I said, God, yes. God, yes, he is. Yes, he is. One more observation. You know, Matthew 8, healed of leprosy, centurion servant healed, Jesus spoke a word. Simon Peter's mother-in-law healed of the fever. He cast out devils into swine. 9, he heals a woman with the issue of blood. He raises a ruler's daughter from the dead. And you know what? They followed him there. Tell the apostles that the gospel is just word. Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. How can I fish men? I know I preach the gospel. No, the gospel is to be heard and seen. It's been heard for years. I know people are hearing me right now, but that's not the hundredfold. I don't walk in the hundredfold. I guarantee you, I do concur with Pastor Bronk. I don't know where I'm at with healing, but I bet you if you take me to other churches, I bet you there'll be some that'll be healed. I guarantee it. The ruler's daughter was healed. Blind people were healed. Let me prove this to you, just what you know already. Matthew 6, 9. The Lord's Prayer. Listen carefully to it. Listen carefully to it. Carefully. Our Father. Remember what we're after. I want to show you and validate to you so that you'll know how to answer somebody when they say, prove to me that miracles and the Word of God are one thought. Oh, it is. It's so easy to say it's not because nothing's happening in other churches. Nothing's even being preached even close to a full gospel message. So it's easy to rewrite the scripture with our intellect than to apply what's absolute and true. Matthew 6 and 9, our Father, listen carefully. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Listen carefully to the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. Your will be done. Listen carefully. I'm proving to you, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the Lord's Prayer. It's more than a prayer. I see it as a blueprint, as an instruction on how to get things done. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. It has come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. Remember the Lord's Prayer. You will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. But he that what? Doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. I don't have to work a miracle or raise the dead to enter heaven. I don't have to. But we can. If you believe the gospel of the kingdom. He said, Matthew 6 and 9, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done by us on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father that's in heaven. Do the will of the Father that's in heaven where? Here on earth, which is us. The sayings of Jesus Christ originate in heaven. We keep them here on earth and we glorify him. We do the Father's will that's in heaven here on earth. Are you with me? Okay, we're trying to establish something here. It's real basic observations, but if you can grasp it and memorize this, you can share the message of the full gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 12:28. There was a demon-possessed man. I think he was mute and deaf. Is that what it is, Pastor? Or blind? Anyway, he was demon-possessed. Blind and he was demon-possessed. Remember the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Remember this. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is. Remember this. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A man's demon possessed. What were the issues that he had, Pastor? Blind and deaf. What was it? Blind and dumb. Matthew records that he was demon possessed. They said, he casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. I'm paraphrasing it. Jesus said, if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons? They weren't casting nobody out. But then he said something so remarkable, tying it into Matthew 6:9. He said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. That kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 7:28. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. That's just in the Lord's Prayer. Again, we go to Matthew 7:48, I think, 49. Listen, I don't hear many people. I don't. But when I get sent a teaching, I don't hear it with a critical heart. I don't. There's certain stuff that I learn. Nobody teaches about praying in the Holy Ghost like we do. Nobody. Nobody does. Or assimilation like we do. I've never heard it. Maybe they do, but I've never heard it. Even Gary talked about this, man. Gary said, I found nothing wrong with him. But he did say what I said, but I just can't picture myself. I knew what he was saying, dropping everything and following his ministry. Neither do I. Good man, I'll hear him, but I know what I believe. Matthew 7:48. Again, we're going back to validating that it is a gospel of word and obedience and a gospel of power. Matthew 7:48. Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside desiring to see thee. Remember the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Listen, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So our Father's in heaven. So where is his will? Where? Help me. Where is his will? In heaven. He wants what's up there and in here fulfilled here. You with me? John 8, I'm the light of this world. If you follow me, you won't habitually sin. He said, I'm the light of the world. I heal the sick. Then the light of the world, Jesus, called us the light in the world. That's enough right there. I quoted Matthew 6:9 to you. I quoted Matthew 7:21 to you. I quoted, and some of you might say, but you're not, I am keeping it in complete context. I can take a verse here and a verse there because I know the passage. I know the context. Why? Because I hear my, you know what? I read my Bible every day. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, your mother, paraphrase, your mother and your brothers are outside desiring to speak with you. He looked at his disciples and he went like this. My brethren, my sisters and my brothers, are these that hear the will of God, that hear the will of God? No, what is it? My brother, my sister, are those that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Are you with me? Not only do we do his will and keep his sayings, but when we allow his will to saturate us, when we're transformed in his presence, the supernatural is available to those that believe. To those that believe. The kingdom of God is incredible. I'm going to say this and don't stone me. Let me finish and bring clarification. I think you will understand this. We're preaching the kingdom of God. parentheses, full gospel. I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. If we believe the gospel, we can lay hands on the sick. And in the name of Jesus, if we're living in the name of Jesus. See, you can say in the name of Jesus, be healed. But if you're not living in his name, when you say in his name, I command you to be healed, they're going to stay the same. You live through Jesus. And you pray in his name. And stuff happens. Believe it or not, I'm almost done. The kingdom of God, man. The kingdom of God. People think we're crazy. We might sound crazy. But we're not weird. We're just trying to reestablish the gospel of the kingdom. When my wife goes to work in the morning and I close my door, I literally close it. Just me and three dogs that we have. I close my door. You know, I'm really starting to love people. All kind of people. My kids. I got to hear my kids' voice every day. Why? Because I check on them? No, man. Just because I love them. Just because I love them. I text people randomly, tell them I love them. Some people respond back, some don't. But you know what? If I'm looking for a response, then I don't really love them. If they don't respond back and I still respond to them, I love them. Because love is not self-centered, man. It's not self-centered. I've been born again. I love people. All people. Black, white, everybody. I love transgender people. I love homosexuals. I love them. I don't have to like what they do. But I'm to lay down my life for them. I'm to lay down my life for my neighbor. Who's my neighbor? All who's around me is my neighbor. Here's the part that you might stone me for, but let me finish. When I close the door to my bedroom, I don't close the door, let me finish, to work miracles. I do not. But by the time I'm done, I want to see miracles. Why? Because my mind is being renovated to think ways that I've never thought before, and the kingdom of God is becoming a reality to me, man. I don't pray to work miracles, but when I'm done, you think you can raise the dead. Because there's an image inside of me, man. And it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Are you with me on that statement? That's not a contradiction. That's just kingdom living. Just follow me, he said, and I will make you a fisher of men. One last observation outside of Matthew. This is in Luke. Paraphrasing. And this really just jerked me. It did really, really hit the spot. Two portions of scripture hit my spot, hit the spot in me. Luke 15 and 1 said, then drew near to him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Let that sink in. then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Let that sink in. When you hear about miracles, you hear many times in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Son of David, have what? Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Blind Bartimaeus, have mercy on me. In Luke 18, when he was talking about being an unprofitable servant, he healed 10 of leprosy. Those are in conjunction, not the time for it now. The unprofitable servant and healing of the 10 that had leprosy, they're in conjunction. I'll prove it another day, not right now. But in a portion of scripture, he said, we're going, you want to talk about mercy. You want to talk about having a pure heart towards all men. Towards, it's not how I treat Pastor Brown that determines what kind of man I am. At all. It's how I treat my neighbor. I hugged the other day. I don't know if Alex and Natalie are here or not. I don't know if they are or not. I hugged their little girls the other day. I love them little girls. And they say they love me, but they like my wife's candy. I hug them. I say, I love you. You're so beautiful. And they say, I love you back. And they give me a hug. And almost immediately when I hugged Alexis, I felt the Holy Ghost whisper to me, how you receive them is how you receive me. But you know what? He wasn't talking about, per se, Alexis and Harmony. It's how you receive your neighbor. I love my neighbor like I do to those two little girls and embraced them. Did somebody say revival? Did somebody say the kingdom of God? Did somebody say in gathering? Jesus said this. Paraphrase. I'm almost done. He said, we're headed to Jerusalem. And as it says in the law and the prophets, all shall be accomplished. The Son of Man shall be spit upon, mocked, scourged, spitted upon, and slain and killed. And the third day he shall rise again. He said, I'm journeying to Jerusalem. For what reason, Jesus? To die. I'm going to offer myself. I'm going to offer myself as a sacrifice. Willingly. I give you my blood. I want my life in you. We're talking mercy now. He said, we're headed to Jerusalem, and all that's in the law and the prophets shall be fulfilled. It shall be accomplished concerning the Son of God, the Son of Man. They shall mock me, spit upon me, scourge me, and kill me. And the third day, I will rise again. Then right after he said that, someone says to him, Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, man. If you can allow yourself to be killed by those that are asking for mercy, that is mercy. I'm journeying to Jerusalem. Why, Jesus? I'm the sacrificial lamb. So when they say, see, mercy and compassion, you can't turn it off and on. You walk in it or you don't. Have mercy on me, Son of David. What will you that I do for you? Lord, that I may open up my eyes. As you have believed, so be it done unto you. You want to talk about mercy? Are we giving our lives to this thing, man? Are we giving our life to it? Not in a legalistic way, but out of passion in our hearts. Are you with me on the mercy part? I don't care who, if I can hug legs in harmony, I should be able to hug Joe Biden the same way. I should be able to hug Kamala Harris the same way. I should be able to hug Donald Trump the same way. I'm not crazy about Mr. Trump as a person. I'm not crazy about Mr. Biden as a person. I'm not crazy about Kamala Harris as a person, but I gotta love him. I don't watch that much Fox News anymore, but I hear, and I will say this with boldness, I hear all these announcers claiming allegiance to Christianity, but then they mock these people on a personal level. They mock Mr. Biden on a personal level. Yes, I don't like his platform. But to mock him as a person? To make fun of him because he might have dementia? Where's the mercy at, man? I hugged Lexus and I hugged Harmony. The Lord said, when you receive people like this in my name, you've arrived. That is the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of God. Titus 3 says, speak evil of no man. I'm done. I'm almost done. 1 Peter chapter 2, I think, or 3. Who gave us an example. You want to talk about carrying your cross. You want to talk about carrying your cross. This passage almost identify or is a complete definition of what it means to carry your cross. 1 Peter chapter 2, I believe. Who left us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, nor with guile found. In the word no guile, that word no means an absolute negative in the Greek. Nothing. That is an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, nor with guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, whose own self bare our sins on his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. You want to talk about carrying your cross? That passage well defines carrying your cross. Living for him. Walking in love. That, my friends, the big dog calls it revival. Proper name. I like calling it the kingdom of God. Steve Schultz called it the end gathering. I haven't talked to Steve personally. I assume he means the same thing, but I know me and Pastor Bronk mean the same exact thing. I know that for a fact. That is the kingdom of God. It's not just word, but power. And the Holy Ghost. 30 more seconds. I believe prayer, fasting. I believe in the upper room. I believe in prayer. To even challenge that is heresy. To even challenge it. But there is a small but there. Well, not an uppercase B-U-T, but a lowercase B-U-T. But we're all qualified to sow seeds. We're all qualified to sow seeds. You can't beat nobody up with the gospel, man. But you can show them who Christ is through gracious words when you talk to him. You can sow seeds wherever you go. I've spread the gospel like 3 times in this last week or so. Last night at the hospital with a nurse, somebody in my family, not my immediate family, was trying to raise up his voice at her, being demanding to her. I said, ma'am, you're doing a great job. God bless. She said, oh, thank you so much. I needed to hear that. The Jehovah Witness went to my house yesterday. Knocked at my door. I hope I didn't scare him because my dogs were barking real loud. I said, be quiet. I said, who's there? Bible teachers. Oh, I go crazy when somebody goes to my house now because I'm looking at a wall all day long and hearing the Bible. And I didn't even have a shirt on. Yeah, I know it. I didn't care. Opened the door. I said, yes, ma'am. We're here. Jehovah Witness. So, oh, yes, Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God that was raised from the dead. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They said, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, oh, yes, I love Jesus. I could have easily, I can say this without bragging, I could have easily cut them up with a word. I could have. And they were going to leave. But 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about a quiet and meek spirit, which is in the sight of God, a great price. I didn't argue with them. We went back and forth. They talked about my eyes, and I was so nice without even trying. I have a meek and quiet spirit. I'm born of incorruptible seed. And we talked. I said, I'll tell you what, ma'am. I'll tell you what. I'll hear you for a few minutes. But you got to hear me afterwards. Well, I forgot what she said. She didn't hear me. But I will tell you this. I was going to say, and some of you might not agree with this, I was going to tell them, well, God bless you. But no, I felt conviction. Because God can't bless the spirit of Antichrist. I did tell them, be careful out there. I was going to say, God bless you. But he shut it down. They might have left that day saying, boy, that short, fat man is so deceived. They might have said that. But they didn't say that old short fat man was rude. He was a little different. He wasn't rude at all to us. I sowed a seed out of who Christ is in me. Are you with me? Amen. My friends, that is the kingdom of God. Amen. Big dog.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Thanks, Homer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I love the word, that combination of just living proof of miracles and the kingdom born again and miracles being one and the same. Boy, if that didn't prove it to you, I don't know what will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Candy and I was thinking as Homer was closing, we had dinner last week at a favorite place at Miramar, and we got done, and I said, let's walk down here to the get a Starbucks, and we did, and we walked the quarter, which is, that's a long place, and got down to Starbucks, and so I'm ordering, whatever I'm ordering, and getting one for Candy, too. And, of course, the people behind the counter are, they're different. And I'm looking at this guy. He's probably about 6'3". He's probably about Stephen's height, and a big boy, and he's sporting a nice dress, and got a big beard, but he's in a dress. And then the girl next to him, now she's the man part. So she's the man as far as they're concerned. And I looked to those people, and Candy's standing there, and of course we realized, you know, what their situation was and where they're at. And I realized exactly what Homer was saying. If I can't respect them as a person, if I got my cowboy on, if I get my cowboy on and I'm like, you know, this is disgusting, I can't. I'm not going to get my cowboy on, my white boy on, my this boy on. I'm going to get my kingdom of God washed in the blood. Because the only thing that will ever change their lives is not my vindictiveness, not my arrogance, but a love that says Jesus paid a price for you. He loves you so much. And how can we turn these aside with an arrogance and then turn right around and say, bring in the babies. We want to lay hands on them and get them out of wheelchairs. But that's not you and I. We're going to another place. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming tonight. Just want to let you know that Miss Barbara is doing really well. Those of you that don't know, she had an operation yesterday, and she's very private, so we've given her some space. She had an operation, and it was to remove a blockage in her leg, and then that turned into something, you know, a second operation, because the first one didn't work well, and it was at a doctor's office. There was a blood clot that ensued, and those are serious. My grandmother died of a blood clot, and so they were working on that. They finally released her, and she was being brought home, and that's when she had she went incoherent. She was unresponsive in the car, really having some complications, and so we treat those things very serious, and Candy and I and some others went to the hospital. But same night, now this is another notable miracle. You know, remember Landon's daughter? We thought maybe she was going to die. She was airlifted. I mean, we didn't think she was going to die, but that's when I got the call. They thought she might die any moment. And the same night, broken bones, but she was released to go home and she survived and is doing well, as far as I know. Barbara was released last night, and that looked really tough for a while, but we began to speak over Satan doing whatever he had attempted. We can't lose our Barbara. She's got to be around for the revival. My God, Jesus. Thanks, Homer, again. I was thinking about today, just as Homer was talking about that place. God provided a place for you. A lot of you've come into our extension over there, and I said, Lord, thank you for this room to die in. You created this room for me to come and die every day. I don't seek him when I go in there for the miracles. I seek to know him face to face. And because of that, we're going to have a revival, my God, like the world's never seen. Thank you for praying for Brazil. I just got through preaching an hour and a half. They told me when I started, they said, now don't you preach an hour. You better preach at least an hour and a half. Those people, I'm doing it through an interpreter, so that doubles the time. But they said, Alan said, you got to give them an hour and a half or else they feel like they've been cheated. So I said, okay, I'll give them. Gary and I were in Australia yesterday teaching together in Sydney. And it's been a wonderful week, and we got more of this week to go, and just some powerful things taking place. Sunday's going to be powerful. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that not this Sunday, but the next is Easter. My God, where's time going? And then the following Saturday is the next Saturday. The youth are getting together on the 15th. We're praying for that. That's going to be powerful. Next Wednesday, Mike Church will be here to teach. We're going to announce him. And we love Mike, so he's going to come and teach for us. Hallelujah. So we got a lot coming up. The 15th is the youth. Hey, these guys, this handsome Alabama boy is here tonight with us. Only thing is his better half's not here with us. We miss her. Hallelujah. He's just down for a few days for a business thing that he's doing. But you'll be down on the 18th, 19th. So right behind that, I'll be leaving for Dayton. We're busy, but we're doing the things of God. Hallelujah. So stand with us, and we appreciate all of you. Continue to pray for the conference, the Brazilian conference. It's through the rest of this week. And those of you that are able to attend, thank you for being there. But if you're not, just pray. Hallelujah. Homer, thank you again. Wonderful, powerful message. It really was. Man, every time I hear that, man, I just want to go home and spend the rest of the day in the Word of God. Just read. Just nothing better. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. Thank you for all of those that have been with us tonight. And we bless them in Jesus' name. If you have something to give, just give it as you're going out. I guess, you got one back there. Hallelujah. We love you. We'll see you Sunday. Amen.